Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Basic Christian Theology. Now, this is going to start up a very long part on Christology, or theology concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. So expect today to be short, sweet, and, well, if you ask me, fun. Because if we are going to say that the very center, the beating heart of theology, the source of everything we believe is our Lord Jesus Christ himself, we'd better get it right when we talk about him. You see, last week we talked about the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ has died for our sins and risen for our justification, so that all who believe and are baptized shall be saved. Without the gospel, there's hardly any reason to be a Christian at all. There's a million other religions out there that might satisfy your personal worldly needs. Of course, none of them are going to save you, but if Christianity didn't have the gospel, then Christianity wouldn't save you either. I'll say it right now. A religion that doesn't save you isn't worth a bucket of spit. It's not worth anything to you. And maybe you have nice things like community, maybe you get worldly benefits or something like that, but ultimately, you want to have a faith that is going to sustain you for all of eternity. You want to worship a God that says, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to make sure you live for all eternity because I love you," and the only religion that does that is Christianity. Everything else is going to tell you, maybe here's some rules and good luck, pal. We, as Christians, rejoice that we have eternal life on account of faith in Christ, in believing the gospel. But with that arises this question: how do you know that you believe in the right Jesus? Do you believe in the right Jesus, the real Jesus, or do you believe in a decoy Jesus? Now, this isn't me bringing up this concern. I'm not the first to do it. Jesus is. He says in the Gospels, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. That's Matthew 24, verses 23 and 24. There are false Jesuses, false saviors, false messiahs, false Christs that want you to believe that they are the real deal. And our Lord Jesus, the real Jesus, says, look out for these decoys, mark and avoid them. Deny them, avoid them, warn others against them, don't buy what they are selling. This is what Jesus tells us to do. But how do we do that? If we spend all of our time studying counterfeit Christs, well, we're never going to stop. You never get to the real Jesus because there are so many fake Jesuses out there that we're supposed to avoid. So instead of studying counterfeits all day, we will cover a few of them later on, we want to follow what Jesus says in the high priestly prayer in John's Gospel. John 17, verse 3, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So the more familiar we are with the real Jesus, the more protected we are from the counterfeits. So we should learn who he is, who he says he is, and believe, so that our salvific assurance is unshakable. But one problem. Where do you start? Where do you start in identifying the real Jesus so that you can properly believe in, worship, and listen to him? How about we start with his name? After all, that is the first thing people hear about Christianity is Jesus Christ. At least when we're talking about what Christianity is about. We hear the name Jesus. We praise the name Jesus. We focus on the name Jesus. Maybe it's a good idea if we're identifying the real Jesus to look at what that name means. Now, what is the name Jesus? It is the Latinized version of the Greek word for Joshua. Somebody might claim it's Yehoshua, but pronunciations aside, there is the name Joshua. When you put that into the Greek form, that's Iesus. When you put that into Latin, that is Jesus or Jesus. If you're talking ecclesiastical Latin, they added the J later on. And so in English, we pronounce that Jesus because the letter J is J, J, instead of the H sound it makes in ecclesiastical Latin. That name means two things. It can mean the Lord saves, and it can mean the Lord is salvation. Now, anybody can have just a name, right? My name means certain things, your name means certain things, and maybe you live up to that name. But the name of Jesus is no accident. He verifies the meaning of his name as something he does and something he is. He accomplishes salvation and he identifies himself as salvation. Remember, the name Joshua or Jesus means the Lord saves and the Lord is salvation. So we say Jesus absolutely did accomplish our salvation by going to the cross and dying for our sins and rising again from the dead. He did that, just like his name suggests. And not only that, but he is salvation. Remember, the substance of being saved is having eternal life. And when he speaks to Martha in the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." So not only does he accomplish your salvation, he is your salvation. And if anybody should say, "Oh, that verse is just a fluke," he repeats himself effectively when he says in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If Jesus, according to his name, or in accordance with his name, both accomplishes and is salvation, this can mean only one thing for identifying the real Jesus. He is the Lord, because the Lord saves and the Lord is salvation. He is God. Now, thankfully, one of the nice things about getting our theology from the scripture is there's no topic that has just one name or just one verse assigned to it. In fact, when it comes to our Lord Jesus, there are other names given to him in the Bible that demonstrate this even more clearly. When he was conceived in the event known as the Incarnation, an angel goes to a man named Joseph, who was to take care of Christ's virgin mother. And the angel says the following: "She will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Then St. Matthew directly connects this name to a prophecy given by Isaiah, quote, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Now, if the text of Scripture says this directly applies to Jesus Christ, a name that means God with us, then we do well to understand, yes, Jesus is divine, and the name Jesus, for this specific Jesus, the one that we call Savior, has more meaning to it than just the name Joshua's meaning. What do I mean by that? Well, the scriptures are not modifying the meaning of the name Jesus, but they are adding significance to it with other names that belong to him. So his name doesn't just mean the Lord is salvation or the Lord saves. Taken with Emmanuel, it means God with us is salvation. And another prophet gives another name. Jeremiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, says this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. That's Jeremiah 23, verse 6. The Lord, God with us, is our salvation by being the Lord our righteousness. This isn't to say that scriptures are modifying the meaning of the name Jesus, like we said earlier. But there are many men, again, named Jesus or Joshua or Jesus, and none of them, except our Savior, have their names loaded with this kind of significance. None of them have these names prophesied about them, where the Old Testament says, yes, that guy has his name, yes, but he's also got this name, Emmanuel. Yes, he's got that name, Joshua, or Jesus, but also he's got the name Yahweh Sikhenu, or however I'm supposed to pronounce the Hebrew from Jeremiah, the Lord our righteousness. If we want to avoid false Christs, the decoy Jesuses out there in the world, we want to take a look at the name of Jesus and confess that the true Christ is the very God who works salvation in us by being righteousness on our behalf. Any quote-unquote Jesus that is not this is a false Christ, from the false Christ of Mormonism to the false Christ of New Age religions, and so on and so forth. There are a ton of fake Jesuses out there, and none of the fakers, none of the counterfeit Christs fit that description from the very names given to our Lord Jesus. Not a single one of them. The great moral teacher of neoliberal Jesus people, he doesn't save. Isa of Islam, they call him Isa. They don't even think he died on the cross for you. There was no atonement accomplished by their Jesus. There's no salvation with that Jesus. That's a decoy Jesus. The true Jesus lives up to his name and the other names given to it. Anyway, let's go ahead and look through our brief summarizing theses here. 1. The center of the gospel is the atoning work of Christ Jesus, in whom we have eternal life by faith. 2. Yet it is possible for someone to believe in a false Christ, a decoy Jesus that does not save. 3. In order to enjoy more of the full assurance of the faith, a task of theology is to identify and discover the true Jesus Christ. 4. The name Jesus, the first thing people hear about the Christian faith, is theologically significant on account of what it reveals about him. He accomplishes and is salvation. 5. This name is connected with other names given to him in the Old Testament. Together, these names given to him describe crucial parts of the gospel. And thus begins our discussion on Christology. We spent forever on hermeneutics, and then we talked about the gospel and why that's the first thing we need to mention. In the next installment, next week, we're going to continue by discussing what the title Christ means and how this demonstrates the connection between Jesus and the Old Testament, how it teaches his humanity, etc., demonstrating further that Jesus Christ is the center of all of our faith. But until then, our Lord bless you and keep you. Amen and amen.